Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us today. And from the early hour, the comforting presence and peace of the Lord was with us. We thank thee for speaking to us from thy word. Thy word is truth. And as we think for a moment or two upon these great truths, we pray that we'll hide them in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Send a great revival to my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. Send a great revival to my soul. May that be the cry of each one of us for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. If you had turned with me to the third chapter of Philippians chapter 3. The other morning, very early in the morning, when I was having my first look at the scriptures for the day, suddenly my mind and my heart was directed to this particular portion of scripture. This was a letter, of course, written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church. And you know, all of you, what happened at Philippi. When Paul came there, you remember the beating he got, the imprisoning he got, the breaking open of the prison, the salvation of the Philippian jailer, and there was a wonderful work done. It's interesting to note that the city of Philippi is no more. There's not even one bit of wood indicating that there was a city there. There is a small village which takes the name of Philippi, but everybody has agreed that that's not in the same place where it was. So there's a great happening in Philippi. The minister, the preacher, was arrested. He was severely mauled with his companion, and they sang praises until midnight, and they sang them so loud that the prisoners heard them. Now you say, how do you know they were loud? Because those Roman prisons, you couldn't have heard anything outside them. When the door was shut and locked, they were like an imprisonment. But Paul and Silas were so loud that the prisoners heard them. So they must have been really singing in tune, and they were singing with power. And then there came the great earthquake and the salvation of the jailer, and then the wonderful happening of his whole house being saved, and the start of a great revival. And of course, if you read the Philippian letter that Paul wrote to them later on in life, what a letter it is, and you'll see how far they had moved from that black night when the earthquake came, and how far they moved. But I was just reading a few verses there in chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. The first thing that the children of God need to do is to follow. Some Christians stop, and they stop following, and then they fall into a backslidden condition. You've always to be active if you're a child of God. They're to follow. And then as I read down that, I came to verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Every child of God has things he must forget. He's to know what it is to be a follower He has known what it is to be a forgetter. Some people are always remembering. Why? Because they have nothing that they're enjoying at the present moment, so they live on memories. But you can't, as a Christian, live on memories. It's a good thing to remember. But you need to have an up-to-date experience of Christ. It's no use saying to me 10 years ago I had a wonderful experience of Christ. What about 10 minutes ago? What sort of experience had you? So the point is this here, there must be a forgetting. And then if you'll notice in that verse, we have another F. We have the forwarding and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark. So we have the following, the forgetting, and the forwarding. And this is very important. Forgetting those things which are behind. There are some things that have to be put behind. For instance, our past sin. And there were many. But thank God we can forget about them. For God has forgotten about them. And as an old Puritan said, imagine living upon what God has forgotten about you. God has forgotten them. Every sin had to go beneath the cleansing flow. You know, it's the devil's purpose to bring up and remind us of our past. That's the work of the devil. And to tell us, look at you, what are you talking about? Look at the way you used to live. Look at the things you used to say. Look at the evil that you used to do. But God knows nothing, as the old Puritan said, of the things he has forgiven. They're put out of God's memory. God doesn't remember them. So you shouldn't be running about trying to remind God of things that he has forgotten. You should, instead of reminding God that he washed them away in the Savior's most precious blood. So there is things it is legitimate to forget. Forgetting those things which are behind. There's a place to put them. God has put them behind his back. He's cast them into the sea of his forgetfulness. You should do the same. Many a believer is kept in darkness and in the shadow of the death because he keeps thinking of things that have been washed out in the precious blood of Christ. Forgetting. Mr. Spurgeon said, God, give me a good forgettery. And that's a good prayer. We need to forget certain things. But then you come down this a little farther and you find out that there's not only the forgetting, but there's the following after. And we have to follow after the Lord. There's a following. There's a follow-up that we need to be very careful about. Some people in the Christian life stop walking and they'll never get any farther. But if you're following, you'll be walking. It is interesting how fast the Lord works about his work. And there's a position, and once when he was going up to Jerusalem for the cross, that he went before them and they marveled at the speed that he took. Christ speeding to the cross. Think of it. He was eager. Christ was eager. He said that nobody's going to keep me from doing this work I have promised my Father I will do. And God needs to put that speed into our walk for him. We're to follow after. And he gives the reason, if that I may be apprehended for that which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Why did Christ receive me? That is the argument you should put to your soul, why you should follow after him. Why did he receive you? One thing, he loved you. And you can write that over everything that Christ did. Came from heaven. Why? Because he loved you. He took the lowly place in a crib. Why? Because he loved you. He was chased down into Egypt because he loved you. He came back to Palestine and he lived in Nazareth until the day came when he was called to be baptized of John the Baptist. Why? Because he loved you. And for 3 years, he ministered all over that area. Why? Because he loved you. And then he gave himself up to the blood sweat of Gethsemane, to the cruel and awful torments of Pilate's soldiers, to the death of the cross. Why? Because he loved you. And he died. He had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it again. So he laid it down because he loved you. He had power to take it again because he loved you. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven. At this very moment, he's praying for you. Maybe not many people in this meeting prayed for you today and named your name, but you make sure of it. The Lord mentioned your name. Your name was mentioned in the presence of the angels of God today. Who? By the blessed Son of God. He mentions you. He never forgets you. He loves you. And he's coming back again. And he's coming back because he loves us. And we're going to be with him in heaven with him. And the first thing he's going to do is to give us a big feed. Yeah. And you say, that's a strange thing to say. You know why? Because you have never had ever a true feast like the feast he's going to give you. He's going to get you ready for feasting. So he's going to give you a great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? Because he loved you. And 10 million, trillion, billion years from this night, you'll still be in heaven. And you'll be more happy than ever you've been, because every day in heaven there's a new revelation. Every day in heaven he's going to show you something new. Behold, I make all things anew. Because he loved you. So you have to follow him. Following Jesus every day by day. I follow after. You don't get in front of him. You get behind him. And he will lead you. He leads his dear children along. Some through the fire. Some through the flood. Some through great tribulation. But all through the blood. He's going to lead you along. So there is the forgetting and the following. And then there's the forwarding. Reaching forth unto those things that are before. Here's a fellow running, and he's so keen to get the prize, he's running with his hand out. His hands before him, he wants to reach the prize. Is that the way you're running for the Lord tonight? Running to get the prize. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This man means to win the race, but he means to get his hand in the gold cup, and he's going to do it, or the silver shield. Thank God tonight we have to press toward the mark. Are you out of breath running after Christ? Someone said to John Wesley one day, are you ever out of breath? He says, I'm out of breath running after souls that are running away from Jesus. And I'm running after them. And I'm going to get them and hold them until the Lord comes and saves them. And that's the attitude we need to have. So tonight, we have to follow. Tonight, we have to forget. And tonight, we have to forward and press towards the mark. I like that word, press towards the mark. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we all do that, the church will be revived. If we all do that, our neighbors will know something has happened. And they'll say one to another, well, we knew that fellow was saved and goes to Paisley's church, and we know all about that. But they'll discover that something deeper has happened. You have started to follow. You have started to forget. And you have started to forward. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Father, we thank Thee for the simplicity of Thy word. Thy word is truth. And O God, we pray that we will forget the things that are behind. And we will reach towards the things that are before. And Lord, we pray that we'll follow Jesus with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. We remember when John said to the two disciples, he said, behold the Lamb of God. They immediately left John and followed after Jesus. And they wanted to know where he lived. And so they said, where dost thou dwell? We want to dwell with thee. Give us a desire to live to Christ. And that desire will give us life indeed. And Lord, help us to be forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Give us, our God, a desire to win the prize. For when we get that prize, we want to cast it at the Savior's feet. So be with us. Separate us with thy blessing. Remember our brother Gary tonight. And we pray for thy healing hand upon him. And we pray that you'll heal him in the Lord's name. And we pray that you'll enable him to be able to be at the meeting tomorrow night, that he might continue his work with these young children. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for that backslider who got back to the Savior. And we thank thee that the man who's ignorant and the man who doesn't know can lose his ignorance by getting a knowledge of Christ. And can know, as he never knew before, the peace that Jesus gives. We thank thee for thy sweet presence with us all day today. Continue it, we pray, and help us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.